Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, as always, joined by Kent Steinbeck, and we're coming to you not from a golf course. We're coming to you from a coffee shop, Kent.
It's true.
It's true. And so it's Herb's House here in Dallas, Texas. And Kent, we've got a great study, devotion. It's going to be short, but it's going to be potent. It's found in John 17, verse 11. The title of this devotion is Kept Secure, Kept Secure. And I want to begin by reading this verse. Jesus is praying to the Father. This is an inter-Trinitarian conversation in which the Son of God addresses God the Father, and he prays this. He says, I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your word, the name which you have given me, that I may be one, that they may be one, even as we are. So Kent, as always, I mean, there's so much packed into this, so much truth that it really, as someone as well said, this is shallow enough for a little child to wade in, but it's deep enough for an elephant to drown in. And at times I feel like we're drowning in the deep end of the pool with this. But Jesus begins, and we need adult truth, okay? We need to have our minds elevated and our hearts enlarged. And this grand truth will do this. He says, I'm no longer in the world. Well, he's actually in the world as he prays this. So this is prayed in anticipation of his ascension back to the right hand of God the Father. And so Jesus is confident that on the other side of the cross, he will return to the Father and return to his pre-incarnate glory at the right hand of God the Father. So Jesus is already looking to the other side of the cross, to the other side of his obedience to die bearing our sins. And he makes a contrast here. I'm no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And he's acknowledging that there's going to be this separation. For the last 3 years, they have been together. They've traveled with him. They've heard him preach. They've seen his miracles. They've been personally equipped and discipled and trained by him. And now the time has come for there's going to be this separation in their relationship temporarily. And they will remain in the world, and he no longer will be in the world. And Jesus reaffirms this and says, and I come to you. And what's interesting about that, Kent, is Jesus understands he's not just going to a place. He's going to a person. He's not just going to heaven. He's going to God the Father who is in heaven. And that's a good reminder for us, even as we anticipate our eternal destiny. I think sometimes we get so caught up in streets of gold and gates of pearls and walls around the New Jerusalem with gems that we lose sight of. It's not the place per se. It's the person, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, who indwell heaven with the fullness of their glory. And Jesus acknowledges this in prayer. He says, I come to you. And now he identifies who the you is, Holy Father. That means that he understands that the Father is transcendent and majestic and elevated, high and lifted up above his creation, and that the Father is sinless and morally perfect and never errs in anything that he does. He's flawless with impeccable character. Holy Father, keep them in your name. And as Jesus goes to the cross and will lay down his life for them, there will be this 3 days in which he will be dead. He will be buried. He will subsequently be raised from the dead. But during this intermission period, while he's in the grave and dead, his body is in the grave, Father, hold them tight, keep them in your name. And then he underscores what this name is, the name which you have given me. It really refers to all that the Father is, his attributes, his essence. All of that is what it will so powerfully and graciously keep them in the Father's name, that they may be one, even as we are one. And when he talks about their unity here, he's talking about the oneness of eternal life that every believer has. The oneness of we are clothed with the same righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This oneness is the ground at the foot of the cross is level for all of us. That they may be one even as we are one. I mean, it takes the same blood of Christ to wash away my sins that it takes to wash away your sins and everyone who puts their faith and trust in Christ. That's the unity that's going on here, that there is one common salvation that preserves us. One position in Christ, one pardon from Christ and by Christ. So, Kent, we need to talk about this.
Well, this is, again, this is a lot. And I think I'd have this kind of this first thought and question I'd like for you to speak to for our audience is, you know, we're born into this world. It's all we know because it's where we live. Mm-hmm. And yet this is so clear that there's more to life than just this world. And how many of us are caught up in just this world?
Yeah.
And it's the beginning and end and grab all you can get. It's just this world.
Yeah.
And clearly, what is Christ saying here?
He's saying that there is an invisible world that we cannot see right now in which the Father dwells, mm-hmm. that he's going to this invisible world that we cannot now see, but that it is more real than the world in which we live right now. Heaven is a real place, populated with real people who have been redeemed by real blood that was shed by Christ on a real cross 2,000 years ago. And so we need to be living for this world to come. And with kind of one eye on this world in which we live, but another eye cast upon the world to come.
Because I don't know, I think even as believers, we still get caught up in so many things in this world. And I think that's convicting. And I think we've talked about this before, but we do look through a glass dimly now. Might explain what that, what does that mean?
Well, that means we only have partial vision right now of truth and reality. Everything has not been made known to us, and that awaits on the other side.
And that's exciting.
Well, it is exciting because we will literally graduate to glory, and we will have our eyes opened with a far greater awareness and understanding of things that we only now have initially begun to grasp because they've been made known to us in the Word. Well, when we arrive in heaven, we're also going to be given, we'll be given a glorified mind. So a greater capacity to understand the divine insights that are being given to us.
It would be fair to say we'll be more alive in heaven than we are now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Far more alive. And so the best is yet to come, Kent. And we have so much to look forward to. And so God has revealed everything to us right now that we need to know. Mm-hmm. We don't need to know anymore. We have enough to live our Christian lives, enough to be saved and enough to be sanctified. And we just need to study what has been made known to us in His Word. It is all sufficient. We have everything we need to know. But there awaits a fuller disclosure of the truth to us, and it will be so elevating and so invigorating, and it will bring so much joy to us.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So exciting to think about heaven.
Yeah. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And I just need to ask you, are you going to heaven? And there's only one way for you to go to heaven, and that's for you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to believe means that you commit your life to Him. that you repent of your sins, that you deny yourself. You step out of the world and step out of the crowd, and you become a follower of Jesus Christ. You surrender your life to him and submit to his lordship and really embrace him by faith. If you've never done that, now is the greatest time for you to step into the kingdom of God. And there's only one way to enter, and that's through the narrow gate. But you take that decisive step of faith right now, this very moment, and commit your life to Jesus Christ. He will receive you. He will take you in, and he will make you an adopted son or daughter. Well, God bless you. Thank you for watching us today on Steadfast Hope.